There we go.
Back in session, 6:26. And we need a motion at this time to approve the master facility plan. And so I'm looking for that.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Great. Properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? And I think...
Yeah, I just... We've had a couple questions since we presented last time. We would like to get things moving, so that's kind of why we added it to tonight. Are there any follow-up questions that all of you... There is a software that will be an annual charge. We've asked for that pricing, and they haven't. We do not have that yet. But the scope of the work and everything is what you received last time.
Okay.
Is so what we're looking for approval.
Is it just the software charge, or is there additional service contract on top?
Just the software charge.
And if we didn't, if we thought that the service charge, the software charge wasn't agreeable, we wouldn't have to maintain it. But obviously there's a benefit to having that and maintaining it once they've done all that work. I guess I'm just saying we're not locked into that annual fee if we don't want to do
pay it.
So there's a one-time fee of like $203K?
Yes.
Coming out of the permit improvement fund. And I shouldn't say this is public record, but I haven't read every page of that agreement. Is the timeline fluid? Like, you know, the timeline that was presented, we're going to do over these course of months, is there some flexibility if something happens and we need to focus or press pause? Is there any flexibility in the time?
He will be flexible with that if we need to. That just was, you know, for us to be able to create, you know, what is doable, when is it doable, how do we lay out that work?
I mean, I support it. I think this is a great initiative that we need to start now. I really appreciate the presentation that you could present, the tools that are laid out. I think it's going to help us really have some real data to make good decisions. And so I'm supportive of it. And I hope those conversations are very beneficial. Did the question about the performance art athletic facilities outside
that
was the buildings?
That would be included.
Okay. That's all I have.
I kind of want to back up just in terms of our conversations. We know that we're growing as a district, and we know that in the future we're going to need some additional facilities, buildings, additions to buildings, and other types of things. And what this proposal is that a company would come in and do an evaluation of our district and evaluate not only the physical facilities that are here, but also the impact of those facilities on our academics and on our teacher efficiency and teacher performance and administrators and so forth. And whatever future facilities are built or added to this district are going to cost tens of millions of dollars. It's going to be a very large bill. And the last thing that I think this district needs to do is to try to figure out how to spend tens of millions of dollars without a really solid, justifiable plan in place. And I see this facility's work providing that level of knowledge and data and justification for whatever future boards decide they want to do in terms of education. The other piece of this that I think is important is that while we have amazing teachers and outstanding top of the business administrators, and our district leadership, our superintendent and her staff, and our treasurer and his staff, none of them have the expertise in facilities planning. And we are understaffed on the administrative side of things. I don't think that it would be right for this board to burden our superintendent with having to come up with a plan or ask our treasurer to come up with a plan for this facility. I think that this is a situation where we need to get some outside help. I think that the presentation that I saw gave me a lot of confidence that this company has the background and expertise, will be able to do what they said they would be willing to do, and that our district will be better for it in the long run.
Well, I'll say I was a little nervous, but the facility side, as far as looking at the facilities and what needs to be done and so forth, I thought that was maybe a little bit high price, but in talking to Ryan Walker, we finally decided that it'd probably take two people full-time employees to, and specialized employees, not you know, people that come right out of college, but people that have a handle on these things, to keep track of the district's maintenance facilities, maintenance problems, you might say, you know, boilers wearing out, those kinds of things, and keeping track of that. And it would just be ongoing forever, where this way we'd get a definitive answer very quickly, be able to keep up with it ourselves with that software, and not have to go into hiring people to do that and then keeping them forever. So from that standpoint, it looks like a win.
I feel that we're kind of in at a tipping point with our district. We're growing very quickly, as everyone is in agreement with. We are going to have to make decisions, and I think that using professionals who have expertise in understanding not only the buildings, but also the software that can keep this information current on a perpetual basis, and also have expertise in communicating with the community, so that we can share information that we're learning at a broader community. It's a way of helping build trust between the schools and the community in regards to clearly potential bond issues we're probably going to have to go for based on community growth in the future.
And even if growth stopped, right, just in the magical world of this hypothetical situation, if growth stopped, we still have a permanent improvement fund that we need to responsibly manage. And so that will help guide us for the next 10, 20 years of how to make sure we're using our resources in the right way, in the right places. So.
And that's, and I don't know that they can be emphasized enough, this is not operating dollars. These are not dollars that would be replenished by a levy that is going to be on the ballot in the future, that this comes out of the permanent improvement fund that has a separate funding stream.
I was going to say two things. Just 21 years in education, it's always changing how we're educating our students best and instructing them, and I think looking at our facilities to match that is important. And then I also applaud you all for doing research with companies to find someone with a proven track record and someone that is more fiscally responsible than some of the other companies out there. So thank you.
And keeps instruction at the core, right? And
yeah,
then that's the one thing a lot of people you talk to, it's about you know, the building and not about what happens in the building.
And when they presented to us, that's one thing that stuck out to me is how they're looking at that. Yes, they showed the numbers and the growth and did all that, but how they were looking at instruction and the buildings to mirror the growth and or the changes that are needed, that stuck out to me.
And there will be opportunity in this plan for...
Yeah, we'll get going on our application process and all that. I haven't pushed forward with that yet, but I'll get all that knocked out.
A lot of opportunity from input from everybody
community
in the district
meetings.
In the community, so it is not a closed process.
Yeah. One last question, I'm sorry. The land holdings or the land property, are they looking at those parcels? Where does the district own land at? Are they using that to evaluate anything for future?
We did not talk about that.
Okay.
But we will make him aware.
It's not going to hold up my vote here. I know we have some land parcels. If there are recommendations for future buildings or other different uses, I don't know if that was something that could be in the scope, but if not, it's not going to hold my vote. Sure.
Any other discussion? We're ready for a vote. All those in favor?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Sorry. Yes.
Almost threw out a Ms. Devine.
That's
not bad. First time since we've done.
Okay. And now we come to a discussion on our levy request, I guess. And I don't know how you want to handle that. I know there's some people that are still income tax oriented, which would require a rescinding motion, which
I think first of all, just kind of opening the door to the conversation. We're feeling a sense of urgency through our Let's Talk group and some other community groups to define our ask. And the board did commit in December to about this time frame to make a decision. So that's, you know, one of the reasons to come back. There was a approval for a property tax ask at that December meeting. We've kind of run through things, generally speaking, around that 4.9 mil property, same amount of money, right, as a 0.75-ish income tax. But just really wanted to bring that back forward and to all of you for discussion and see what you were thinking. I think Todd and I have made a recommendation and made that recommendation to be considered for a 10-year consideration, because the TIF areas that we have will be falling off in that time frame. It might just be about a year shift in there, but it seems to make sense to us.
The 10-year 4.9 mil, is that the recommendation?
We said 10-year property tax, and at the time we said around, I think I said 5.5. Now I think we've had conversations since then where people have said, well, you know, again, you need, these are just comments, you need to be under 5, that kind of thing. So we said, well, if we did 4.9, we could make that would be doable as well.
For 10 years.
Yes. And to Diane's point, the part of the reason for the 10 years, not only the TIFs falling off, but also the idea that we don't want to be going back to renew this at the same time that there's going to be other levies most likely on the ballot, whether it be a bond issue or additional operating. So that also would help, you know, alleviate that log jam. Levy log jam.
Any other discussion?
Now, the amount of money that would be generated by the 4.9, is that in the neighborhood of $5 million a year?
$5.5 to $6 million.
Okay. All right. And whether we have an income tax or a property tax, the amount of money that we need to balance the budget over the next 5 years stays the same.
Right.
Okay.
What was that amount again? Sorry.
$5.5 to $6 million on 4.2. Sorry, I'll bring that.
From the Less Talk groups or any other community groups, have you received any feedback? Because that's something I've always wanted, is like, what will people support? What's building momentum? And I know we can't gauge that necessarily as a board, but any feedback coming in from other than us saying 5.5, we support that. For, you know, under 5, we support that. Any differentiate? Any types of feedback received?
Yeah, obviously we can't ask that question in our meetings. I would say there is still some concern with some senior groups that we have met with, senior citizens in the group, and then we've met with them separate outside of the Let's Talk about an interest in income tax. That surfaced into, you know, there's kind of a lack of understanding of who pays what. And so we've tried to do some pieces with that as well. Is that, are they saying, hey, we're in for a five? We can't ask that. And I understand. Yeah.
People sometimes are strong with their opinions. And so they know they're at the door saying absolutely not, or yes, maybe,
This new funding generation, is it bringing back some of what we cut, lowering class sizes? Is it adding some additional staff? I guess I ask myself those questions as a community member, and I don't know if you know the answer tonight or not.
I think our plan would be that it does bring back some. I don't think that that level of funding would bring back everything.
Yeah.
But I think we would be able to bring back some, and we would have to prioritize and see, you know, where is it going to be the most effective.
I mean, as a voter, you know, who's going to vote yes, like, I think people want to know what's coming back with their yes vote. And so I think we need to promote that. So I think we need to start... If that's the amount we're going for, then we need to start gathering that information so the levy committee can put that information out there appropriately.
We agree. That's kind of why we're back. It's kind of a rough spot to be in, you know, when we're having those meetings and people are like, well, what is the ask? We don't know yet, you know, but we're trying to have those conversations early. We've talked a lot about... the political platform will probably be a little bit tricky in the fall. And so we want to make sure that our message can get through that noise. And that's why we're starting now. But we're kind of getting in a position where we're being pushed for that number.
Yeah. So as an advocate for all kids, I worry that that's not enough. You know, bringing back some of what was cut, I feel like we need more in our schools. I mean, I'll say that loud and clear. I don't want to ask our voters, our community, to pay more taxes, but my question is, how are we going to start to get some of the things our kids need?
We have heard that. We were asked that point blank in a meeting. Is that enough? And my response has been no, it's not enough. However, I would also tell you we need a win.
We absolutely need a win.
And morale and you know, it's been a difficult couple of years, right? And, you know, we're in the middle of a teacher shortage. So Dublin's building new building, Olentangy's building new buildings. People have opportunities to go, and they will leave. It's balancing getting the win for I guess for the bottom line as well. So
So do you think 5.5 would put us where we could bring back class sizes and push those numbers down?
I think 5.5 would probably get us to where we could bring back a lot of variables, you know. So you're looking at that ending target and where do you want that to be? We also know that the forecast is going to change in May because we don't have our final numbers yet. I'm hopeful that the forecast is going to be more positive in May than what it was in November. So that also plays into that. So I would say I'm optimistic that 5.5 would potentially allow us to bring back most or close to all of what was lost. But again, that's some things would have to fall into place.
Because I've heard no one say that it wouldn't pass if it was over 5. I've heard people say it should be around 5. But I've not heard a definitive, we're not voting for it if it's, and I'm with you. I hate going backwards. We weren't flush to begin with, and now we're going downhill, and you combine larger class sizes with possibly not as robust a teaching staff. That's
more challenging demographics. You know, we have higher need students coming in.
It's going to get ugly fast.
I have questions, but I want to make sure.
Oh, go ahead.
Robert's Rules of Order says everyone knows how.
No, you doesn't matter.
Okay, so let's start with the city agreement, with the TIF agreement. If a new money levy is asked, do you have the amounts for the 4.9 compared to the 5.5 mil?
Sorry, I did not bring that.
I think, so is 800K for 5.5, correct? I don't know this. I'm just trying to remember.
That was in our presentation then?
The number I remember is close to that 900.
It was between 800 and 900.
Close
that
to a
week.
Million.
Give me a minute. Yes. I can give you a number.
I remember that.
And I've said this before, and I don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I think when you go to the voters for a levy ask, we really have to have some selling points. And one of the selling points is, what does this get you? And so I know you want the board to give a definite answer, but I feel like we still need to say class sizes will be here. Like, here's what we're at. We're salespeople, right? So we have this, here's our product. And the product is what the quality of education today, but also, I guess, because the next conversation once we set this amount is contingency plan.
Correct.
And so we really have to know what do we achieve with the new money ask. Because what people are going to focus on is what are we going to lose, but we also need to sell both. Like, here's what we can achieve, not necessarily what we lose. Because once we say what we're going to lose, everyone's going to pull out the financial forecast and any information they can get to show us why we shouldn't be losing that. So, if that makes sense. So I really would like to kind of, what does a 4.9 or 5.5, what does that get us? If we can run through that list and try to put some meat to that question.
Give me a couple minutes, I'll give you an answer.
No pressure.
Well, while we've got a bit of a break, I mean, the city has said that for the ask that we will get all of the benefit from a property tax increase. And I think that is a significant factor.
It's a huge gesture.
Toward a property tax, because I know people will question. Everything we've ever gotten from any survey shows that 50% of the people like income tax and 50% like property tax. It's almost exact. And I joke that we have another 50% that don't want any. But So I think whichever way we went, there would be a selling argument. Now I ask whether the dollar amounts that we needed changed if we had an income tax or a property tax, and it doesn't. And an income tax, and one of the problems that I have had with an income tax is that if the income tax is on earned income, you have a much smaller group of people that are paying that, you know, the dollar amount that we're asking for. If you have a property tax, you not only have the households making their contribution, but you also pick up business and industry that under an income tax do not pay. I gave you a sheet. That's my house. That's my taxes that I pay. An income tax stays constant. Then as people's income goes up, their tax liability will go up. With property tax, because of 920, over time, the amount that you pay to the school for operations and for and so forth goes down. And growth, which we are seeing lots of. So I think if you can kind of put all that stuff together, the growth that we have, the potential of new apartment buildings and new commercial buildings and so forth, means that over time there will be less and less being asked of the current residents in terms of what they pay for education. So,
And there's more. There's a little bit more to that. That is, business and industry is being taxed at a much higher rate. They're being taxed at the actual millage, and their millage does not roll back. So
it does roll back.
It does?
Yes, but because we haven't had the growth, we've had so much more residential growth than we've had business growth, the millage hasn't rolled back nearly as much. So our commercial effective millage is close to double the residential.
So I'm not debating the question of property or income tax.
Yeah.
We've settled that.
No, I'm going to engage for me. I mean, this is, I'm just stating this for whoever happens to maybe listen to this, you know, that we're still looking at the different possibilities, and that we're going to arrive as a board, we're going to arrive at the right decision for our students and for our community.
Jermaine, to your question, so 5.5 mills would generate on those TIF properties $954,000, whereas 4.9 would be $850,000.
And when we, the other meeting, you kind of said we can probably look at this sum and bring back some cuts for this. Is it okay to move forward to say if we pass this levy, here's what we can bring back?
Yeah, I think we could sit down and have those discussions too. That would be what, kind of like, are you all right? You're getting blinded.
No, I like seeing the sun after 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, I'll take it.
But that's what we would sit down and do. That's always the next step. Contingency as well as, you know, these are the things that, you know, there's a couple things that are heavy, not just class size, but also staying competitive in the market. I mean, that's been a thing we've shared quite a bit at our Let's Talk group that really has influenced some thinking. We're dropping in the bottom third of starting teacher salaries, and that's never where we've aspired to be. We haven't always said we had to be the top, but we always like to be right there in that center area, and we are losing traction. Again, it's back to retention and keeping high quality people on board. And there's no doubt when 90% of your budget is benefits and salary, you know, it is going to allow us to hire more teachers and to be more competitive in the marketplace.
Are you able to quantify, like, so right now I'm trying to lean towards a 4.9 mil. I don't want you to give me answers of saying this is why that makes the best or best decision, Jermaine. But what's the difference in competitiveness? Like, so for like a 5.5 mil, if we go and win 5.5 or 4.9, with to that question, if a 4.5 is what we choose and win, are we able to meet some of that being become more competitive? With, because I know negotiations.
In my opinion, the difference between 4.9 and 5.5 is pay me now or pay me later, because 5.5, 4.9, we're still going to get to, in general, the spot we want to be in fiscal year 28.
28.
But what that means is when we're on the ballot again, whether that be, you know, 27 or 28 or wherever that place would be, we've got to make up for that 0.6 mils that we didn't ask for. So it's just really, do we get it now and then able to, you know, build up a little more reserve and also maybe use it a little more to, you know, help boost our staff to pupil ratios, or do we, you know, go for that lower amount, meaning the cash balance is going to be that much lower when we're on the ballot the next time, and then, you know, are we going to just, you know, keep, you know, scrimping by each time, or do we ask for what we need so that we're next time we don't have to, you know, we're not at the rock bottom every time, I guess.
I mean, these would be a couple of things that we've shared in our group. I don't know if you made that spreadsheet for them.
Not for this meeting.
Okay. But our student to teacher ratio is 48th in the state. That means 92% of districts have more teachers per student than we do. Our student to administrator, I know some of you have said, we heard that you're top heavy here or whatever. Our ranking is 97th in the state. That means 84% of school districts have more administrators per student than we do. I mean, we run a lean ship and get great results. So, but with needs growing, our demographics growing, our just population growing, we just can't keep going the way we are.
What was that
first
figure?
Maybe repeat that one.
Yeah, the first figure.
The student to teacher ratio ranking is 48th in the state, which means 92% of districts have more teachers per student than we do.
I'm going to have a handout that'll have that information on it for you. I was going to present that at the next meeting, the regular meeting.
I'm so blowing his bubble a little bit. Sorry. Yeah.
Can I get a copy of that before?
I can email you guys all right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is it in the packet? I'm sorry.
I think it should be on.
Let me go home and do my
sheet that looks like sheet. That. Okay. No. At the bottom. But this, he might have better wording. We've struggled with how to word that because it's confusing when I first read it. Mm-hmm.
Are you asking for a decision tonight, or have a?
Well, we need to get there
sooner
than later. I mean, I think that you know, even every building I go to for my building visits, it's the number one question. You know,
they're planning. As a former principal, I'm working on my schedule for next year.
Yeah,
and I can't work on my schedule until I know how many teachers I have.
Yeah. And we're looking at who's leaving now and trying to balance all of those things. So it's definitely on the minds and hearts of everyone. So
we had.
Is there more information maybe between now and the board meeting that you would need to help inform a decision? Like, do think you just ask some questions, which I thought were great? Do you want the opportunity to get Todd some more questions so that maybe we could make a decision next week?
I can just give you my pulse. Like right now, because we've said 4.9, we could probably get by. I know we have another levy ask. I know it's not perfect, and it's not necessarily, I'm not answering a math problem. I'm trying to hit the perpendicular, I'm trying to hit the equilibrium of what we could probably get voters to support. I'm leaning towards a 4.9. Doesn't mean I'm right in my logic behind that, because I can understand the argument. We need to go with what we need, and that's a 5.5. I'm just trying to, if we can have a couple of years to navigate how are we actually growing. We have the facilities plan, and then if we can get something with a 4.9 and that passes in November, that's where I'm really going with. But it may be a weak position on my part to go with a lower number. Maybe I should be more bold and say 5.5, but I'm just trying to, from the feedback I'm getting, I'm very cautious with what we ask for.
Okay, so if we went with a 4.9, where would we be at on, you know, we're 48th in teachers to student ratio. Will we be down to 40?
Well, that's not going to impact the ratio. That, you know, if we want, the millage doesn't impact the ratio unless depending on what we do with the money. You know what I'm saying? So if we went with a 4.9 or 5.5, unless we said we're hiring 20 new teachers with that, we're not really impacting the ratio. Now the tax rate that we've got on that sheet that I just sent you, you know, whether we do 4.9 or 5.5, right now we're the second lowest tax rate in all of Central Ohio. We probably move to third. Either way. Yeah.
That difference in millage you mentioned, Todd, over what would be generated from the TIF consideration from a 5.5 and 4.9 was basically $104,000 a year, right?
On the TIF side.
And if that's a 10-year agreement, that's over $1 million difference, correct?
Correct.
So I'm in favor of a 5.5 mil. I know it's 10 years, but you can do something with $1 million in the budget even over 10 years. Yeah. So I'm in favor of.
Well, and how much different?
Not just the TIF side, on the levy side, on the the real estate tax side. Correct. You're talking $600,000.
Well, my sale to the community is we're getting more of your money back from the TIFs for those that have them to the schools where they should belong.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm looking at that number.
Mm-hmm. On a $100,000 home. What's the difference in payment with a 4.9 and a 5.5?
That's what I was calculating right now.
I mean, that's who's going to be voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So on a $333,000 home at 5.5, you're getting $641.54. And at 4.9, you're getting $571.56, so $70 difference between the, and that's pretty much everything in town is getting close to
$300,000.
Yeah. Low end, right?
What?
The low end?
Yeah. Yeah, I always do the one and the multiply it. That's always
$21 per 100,000.
Okay.
How much?
$21 per 100,000 if you're talking 0.6 mils. So that difference between the 5.5 to 4.9
is $21 per 100,000.
Yeah.
Per year. Or $1.75 a month.
But the district would see $600,000 more. Didn't you say that?
Correct.
Yeah.
So although a $300,000 home is only $60 a year, the district gets $600,000 more from that.
Right.
I always have a hard time not doing what's needed. And I can remember conversations with superintendents where we said, you know, figure what it costs to educate the kids and do it right, and the community will respond. And in other school districts, not necessarily Marysville, in other school districts, when issues are put on the ballot, you're looking at, you know, are we buying school buses? Are we building new facilities? Are we doing those kinds of things? What we're talking about with this issue is teachers. 90% of the money is salaries and benefits of our teachers and our administrators, our cooks, custodians, and bus drivers, and everybody that works for the school district. So this is, you know, I want to emphasize, this is not, if anybody's listening, this is not about school buses. This is not about athletic fields. This is not about buying textbooks or technology or doing any of those kinds of things. This is to try to do right by the people that are trying to do right by your kids. And so I think it's important for us to get a number that the community will accept. As I said, it's always hard for me to ask for less than what is the right thing to ask for. And the information that I just got in terms of the difference between those two asks is not a significant amount of money for an individual property owner, but I think it's a significant amount of money for our school district. Mm-hmm. And I think it would give our administrators the opportunity to come back with a very positive list of things that might be able to be done. Because I know we've got people in our community that are very angry at us for some of the things that were cut. They didn't like it.
I can see that 5.5 is probably needed, but I have heard that we won't bore anything over 5. I've heard that from people, especially older community members, and the difference between 4.9, $500 versus $600 in increased taxes, I think it kind of makes a difference. But I struggle with that because I know we are having a very hard time keeping hold of our teaching staff, especially our younger teaching staff, especially as so many retired teachers are exiting the workforce and not nearly as many new teachers are coming out of colleges. And the state is struggling to is lowering standards, which I don't want to go that direction at all. I 100% want certified teachers in all of our classrooms. And needing to, have a livable wage for our very, very critical workforce.
I mean, I also think we should make a decision sooner than later, because we haven't, since December, moved much from where the conversation has. I might not necessarily agree with 5.5, but I think if no one's significantly moved away from 5.5, or when I say no one, the majority of the board hasn't really moved away from that direction, which we kind of understood that to be when we made the decision for property or income tax. I think as long as we don't come back in 2 months and say, let's lower our ask or raise it, we have to walk in and commit. I do think, because I've heard from some people too, when are you guys going to set when are you guys going to make that decision? And personally, I would have liked to do it closer to July, like June, that way we can ramp up and here's our number and then it's a campaign season. But that's my personal choice, but that may, I'm the youngest here, so that's probably the least informed choice.
As a former educator who was in a building, teachers need this information this spring. Mm-hmm. And community members need to know so they can start asking questions too.
But maybe I should say this. we've had organized resistance. That's why I was wanting to keep it closer throughout the, towards the summer, because last time we've had an organized resistance, which is they're free to do that. But putting something on paper and locking it in gives them something to
fix. Personally, I welcome that. If we believe it's needed, let's have those conversations that are difficult so we can push the sell to our community. Because damn it, our kids deserve it.
That's very true. Thank you.
Kenny Chafman said, our high school principal said on social media one day that our superintendent gave kids of this school district something that was very important, and that was hope. And I've heard her say that numerous times. And one of my concerns is that our ask, I think, needs to provide hope, because we're going to have teachers making a decision this spring, this summer, whether they want to stay or go. And I think if there's hope, they will stay.
What is, I used to know this, what is the date that teachers typically will be making a decision here?
Well, the last day that we can hold their contract is July 11th.
Yeah, but isn't there an April date there somewhere?
And we've already asked asked for their intent to stay. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That
which
process
means nothing. But
yeah.
Well, I know
that. Courtesy.
Well, it doesn't mean nothing because, you know, but.
Because yeah. I've had the July the 12th.
I think it's more, you know, leaving for summer.
Yeah.
You know, having your mind right when you come back. And, you know, there's no doubt that a school district levy is a stressor. It's on staff. It's a stressor on, you know, all of us. Yeah.
But so, school board members. Can I push back a little bit with the question that may not be fair, but what's the difference between a 4.9 mil and a 5.5, knowing that that's the amount? What does that do to someone knowing, because we know we're going to be in about November, right? So does it 4.9 help alleviate or provide hope? Or does a 5.5 provide hope? Like, what is that?
I think not knowing creates anxiety. Maybe it's the opposite way to look at it.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm not trying to, but I think that's what I hear. Like, what is the ask and what does that mean for us? And when will we know? And, you know, it's because it's not answered. It kind of spins.
Well, I mean, if someone puts a motion for it, yeah, I'll support that.
Looking for a motion, entertaining a motion.
All right. I'll put a motion on the floor, knowing that people can vote and hopefully will vote their conscience and do what they think is right. But I would move that we put a 5.5 mil levy on the ballot in November of 2024.
Is there a second?
Okay, but sorry, real quick. If depending on what level of certainty we want to have on this, do we want to call that a 10-year?
10-year.
Is it an emergency?
Yes.
Or?
It'll be a 10-year emergency.
The motion is for a 10-year emergency for 5.5 mils.
May I ask why it has the word emergency in front of it?
Just a higher revised code. There's only a certain number of levy options that there are, and that's one of them.
What meets the criteria to have emergency?
Nothing.
We failed it.
I'm
wondering, what does that do? Because it was an emergency last time, correct?
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The benefit of emergency really is it doesn't impact your 20 mil floor.
And the other benefit is, so if you do a continuing, so let's say we pass the 5.5 mil continuing levy, each year that's just going to, the effective millage will go down every year as the property values go up. So if that levy is to collect, you know, 5.5 mils, collects $6 million, we'll say, well, 10 years from now, that levy will still be collecting $6 million. It will not change. So the one of the benefits of an emergency levy is 10 years from now, when it comes time to renew or replace that levy, depending on whether laws change or not, you could replace the levy and that $6 million might grow significantly. It would actually be a much larger number because of all the growth that we're having in the community, all the new people coming in.
Yeah. Not to get away, but I can second.
Is there a second? Okay. So probably move to second that we place a 10-year emergency 5.5 mil levy on the ballot. Is there any further discussion?
I'll emphasize again, this is all about teachers. And if our community wants to show support for our students and staff, this levy is absolutely necessary. I think at this we have some degree of certainty that we will be able to undo some of the things that we did. We made $2 million worth of cuts, and we've been very consistent at maintaining that $2 million in reduced spending. We have hurt kids. We have not done right by kids, in my opinion, in some areas as a result. And I would like to see us have the funds available to give the type of education that our community expects going into the future. You know, we're not asking for luxuries. We're asking to be able to pay the bills and to hire good people and to be able to retain them.
Any further discussion?
This starts with us as soon as we walk out that door.
Yeah.
We need to start advocating for our schools.
Okay, anything else? All in favor?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes. Motion passes. And that takes us to adjournment. And before we adjourn, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody because I think we accomplished something for once. And I'm glad we didn't kick it down the road to the next meeting. Yep. So I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Been properly moved and seconded. We adjourn. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.